Now, I want our church family to guess where I'm preaching from tonight. Luke 2. All right, you're right. Luke 2. Yeah, Luke 2. I want to show you something tonight I hope will be a blessing to you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And we're going to read the first part of the Christmas story, and as it is recorded here in the Gospel of Luke. And I really do appreciate all of you being here tonight. God bless you, and thank you for coming. It's a good crowd, and we appreciate you being here, especially if you're a visitor with us tonight, not a regular church member or church attender here. We welcome you. Thank you so much for coming, and we want you to feel right at home and feel welcome in the Church of the Open Doors, not the Church of the Closed Door. All right, it's Church of the Open Door, and we are so glad you're here and with us tonight. All right, Luke chapter 2, let's begin reading in the first verse, and you follow along as I read the text. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." That was the Roman world. All the Roman world should be taxed. And this taxing, verse 2, this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Now, I want you to notice in verse 15 what the shepherds said one to another. The shepherds looked at one another after this wonderful experience of seeing the heavens light up with the angels of heaven and listening to the angels glorifying and praising God. Can you imagine what that must have been like? I have heard some great choirs in my day. I remember in college hearing an oratorio sing. I mean, there were several hundred people, and they did Handel's Messiah. And I remember the chills running up my spine when when they got to the good high parts and the strong parts. Well, can you imagine being out on that hillside and all of a sudden the heavens light up and the angels of God start to praise the Lord? Can you imagine what that would have been like? So anyway, the angels the shepherds looked at one another in verse 15, and they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go up the hill and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So I want to speak to you tonight from that verse and from that phrase, and I'm going to entitle my sermon tonight, "The Night of All Nights." The Night of All Nights. Let's pray together and then the message. Father, thank you for the beautiful music we have heard tonight. And thank you, Lord, for the occasion for which we're singing about the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will bless us mightily tonight as we think about these shepherds and we think about what was revealed to them on that night of all nights. And Father, I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray the word of God will make a difference in somebody's life tonight. Help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Ever since that first day when God divided the light from the darkness and called the light day and then called the darkness night, our world has experienced the same thing each day over and over and over without break. Every single day, that sun comes up in the east and then it sets in the west. Every single day. Think about that. The only time there has been a change in that is when God intervened back in the book of Joshua and held the sun in place to give a little bit more daylight for Joshua and the children of Israel to defeat their enemies. But that's the only time there was ever a break in that setup. 24-hour days, 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of darkness. That pattern has never faltered and it has never failed. You can watch the news and they will tell you exactly when the sun will pop behind the Catoctin Mountains out there. You can watch the news and they will tell you exactly to the second when that sun will appear in the eastern sky. Now, the pattern never falters and it never fails. Now, as far as anyone could tell, this night that I just read about in Luke 2 was just like any other night. As far as anybody could tell, the sun went down and it began to get a little cooler. The stars came out. It was just like any other night. But as we can see in our text, this night was not just like every other night. This was, in my opinion, the night of nights. In my opinion, what happened on this night was the greatest event that to date since creation. It was the greatest night to date for what happened on this night. I remember a couple of Israel trips ago, we arrived at Caesarea by the sea, just about 5 o'clock in the evening, maybe quarter till five in the evening. We got off the bus, and I knew that it would be a short visit. And it's just so beautiful. You're right on the Mediterranean Sea. And Herod's aqueducts come all the way down from the mountains. You can look and see the mountains off in the distance. And the aqueducts that were built by King Herod to bring fresh water from the mountains down to the city of Caesarea is still standing. And it's an amazing sight to see. So you got the aqueduct that is still there. You've got the Mediterranean. And on this day, we had not a cloud in the sky, and we got the privilege of seeing the sun set on the Mediterranean Sea. We stood and watched, and it was an amazing sight. Everybody forgot that the aqueduct was there, and everybody was taking pictures of the sun, and it looked like there was just this big orange ball that was sitting out on the top of the water. It was a beautiful sight to see. And we milled around. Everybody was taking pictures, and we were wading in the water, and everyone was having a good time. And then you could look out, and the sun looked like half of it was stuck down in the sea. And then in a few minutes, it was just gone. And after it was gone, we stood and we looked at the sky out there, and it just looked like the sky had been painted with blood. Just as red as it could be. And that was when it hit me the first time. I don't know how I had missed this for all these years. I mean, mercy, how many sunsets have I seen? And I stood there and looked at that, and I saw that beautiful red out there, just like God had reached down and taken blood and painted the sky with it. And I stood there and looked at that and thought, wow, look at that. In a few moments, it's going to be night. It's going to be as dark as sin. But just before the darkness, God painted the sky blood red to show us that there's hope. That we don't have to die in the darkness of sin and go out into a world, a hell that is full of darkness. No, there is a Savior. And that Savior came on this night. That's what makes this such a wonderful night. It is the night of nights. On this night, this wonderful Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, was born in Bethlehem's manger. This is the night that brought the light of the world to all mankind. Hey, folks, the next time, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but in the last couple of weeks, man, we have had some beautiful sunsets. I don't know if you've noticed it, but we've had some beautiful sunrises too. Now, I know some folks think the sun just poop, it's there. But no, if you get up early enough, it gradually comes up. Now, you got to get up, though. Right? I think I was 18 before I realized that it gradually comes up just like it gradually goes down. I was about 18 before I realized that. My dad said, school's over, get a job. And you know, they made me be there at 7:30 in the morning. Come on. How ridiculous was that? And once I was there, they expected me to work. Go figure. But how many times has God showed all of us that crimson sky? And God, you say, why do you do that? He's showing us that before the darkness comes, before it ever gets here, there's hope. The blood of Christ is there. You get up after a long night and you get up in the morning and there's that sky again, blood red. God showing you that after the night, there is light. And folks, that's exactly what John said about the Savior. Those that sat in darkness have seen a great light. On this night in Bethlehem's manger, the Son of God was born, and he would make a way for man to find his way out of the darkness of sin and into the light of night. Now, I want you to look at my text. Look at that 15th verse. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You are very kind, and I appreciate it. And I am sorry. I don't know. The devil does not want you to hear what I got to say. My text says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Folks, it was in the night. Notice that. It was in the night when the announcement came to these shepherds that the Messiah, the light of the world, had been born. The announcement was not made to kings. It was not made to world leaders. It was not made to the rich and to the mighty. It was not made to the conquering soldiers, but was made to poor shepherds as they watched over their flocks by night. The first Christmas sermon was preached to shepherds, and the message of good tidings was brought first to the shepherds that the Savior of mankind had been born. So what was their reaction to this announcement? When they heard this news, what did they do? Well, verse 15, my text says that they looked at one another and said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Now, folks, let's speak to ourselves with these same words. Let's speak to ourselves with these same words. Let's speak to ourselves with these same ambitions and these same purposes, and let's see this thing which has come to pass. What happened here? I'll give you three quick things. Number one, I want you to notice that this thing, this event happened, but it did not just happen. I mean, it happened, but it did not just happen. There was thought, there was planning, there was purpose in what happened. When the Lord appeared to these shepherds and made the announcement, it was not just, wow, this thing just happened. Oh, no, it was the plan of God. You see, God knew that as sinners, we had to have a Redeemer. God knew that we could not save ourselves. And so he planned this thing. We need to realize that what happened on this night did not just magically or mystically occur. No, the great events of this night of nights did not happen without a great amount of preparation and prediction and promise. All of that went into it. You see, the promises started all the way back in the beginning of time when Adam sinned against God in the garden. And when Adam sinned against God, he became a sinner. And God knew, I've got to do something here. Adam is a sinner, and everybody who comes from Adam will thus be a sinner. And so God had to give us a Redeemer. If God did not do it, then we are all sunk. And he knew that. And so right there in the garden, he made a promise. When Adam heard God coming, Adam went and hid himself from God. And God called out, "Adam, where art thou?" You see, God, even then, was a seeking Savior, and Adam was a shrinking sinner. Adam wanted nothing to do with God. You say, well, preacher, why would Adam not want to fellowship with God? Wait a minute. Same reason you don't want to fellowship with God. Sin. Sin. And he hid himself from God. And God went and found him. And when God found him, God promised him a redeemer. God promised a savior who would come to redeem man back to God. The Lord told Adam that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent who lied and deceived them into sinning against the Lord. But hey, don't stop with Adam. Just keep reading your Bible. And 12 chapters later, 11 chapters later, there along comes Abraham. And wow, there's all these chapters about Abraham. And what did God promise him? Well, to Abraham, the promise was made that all the families of the earth would be blessed through this Redeemer. And then you keep reading and you get to the book of Exodus and there's another character. His name is Moses. And God told Moses that a greater lawgiver than he would appear one day in the future. God said the Redeemer is coming. And then you keep reading and you read about Balaam, a prophet and a seer outside Israel, who said to them one day, there shall come a star out of Jacob and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And then comes the psalmist. And the psalmist said over and over that the king was coming and that when he comes, his name will endure forever. Hey, folks, look at me. It's been 2,000 years and we're still talking about that Redeemer. Amen. Wow. If ever a prophecy was true, that one was. And the psalmist announced the day when that is coming, when the heathen nations and those that have forgotten God will one day be the coming king's footstool. The prophets called him the desire of the nations. Isaiah said that his name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And then the prophets got in on it, the minor prophets, and they started telling about his coming. And they told us that he would come out of the tribe of Judah. And that even more specifically, that he would come from the family of David out of Judah. And then even more specifically, that he would be born in Bethlehem in Judah. Wow. Isaiah told us that he would be preceded by a forerunner. And lo and behold, you get over in the Gospels and there's John the Baptist crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. There would be one who would go before Christ, making the way for the Lord by preaching repentance. So folks, I'm saying that when this night of nights occurred, anyone could have checked the facts. Anyone could have been able to see that the one born in Bethlehem was not just any ordinary person coming into this world, as the angel said to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, they should clearly have known it. And I think they did. They did. Because it tells us that they went and they worshiped him. Paul phrased it this way. Paul said, in the fullness of the time, Christ came. Hey, folks, everything was ready for the Lord Jesus to come into this world. There was this common language that everybody spoke. It was known all around the known world. And there were highways built by the Greeks and the Romans where the message of the Savior could travel. And the world was ready. Everything was prepared. Hey, folks, this night of nights was God's hour. God's hour had struck. The preparations that had been made for thousands of years were now all pointing to a baby lying in a manger, and the shepherds were marching up the hill to see God's only begotten Son, God's Messiah, God's Redeemer. Wow. What a night that must have been. Second thing I want you to consider, think with me of the manner of Christ's incarnation. How is it that God became a man? How was that possible? You know, on this night of nights, the most amazing thing happened. You want to hear what it is? God became flesh. Wow. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, let me tell you something. You better believe it. That's what's in the Bible. You better believe that. I mean, that's what made this the night of nights. Even in the great mind of the Apostle Paul, when he thought about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, he said to Timothy, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." I met a guy one time on visitation, and he told me that he was God. I said, "Really?" And he said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, man, how long have you been God?" He said, "About 5 years now." I said, "Man, that's awesome." He wasn't God. He was nuts. Hey. I just calls them like I sees them. He wasn't God. Now, sad thing is, this man thought he was God. I met another fellow one time, and he told me that he was Jesus. And I said, "Well, let me see your hands." And he said, "What?" I said, "Let me see your hands." He said, "What for?" He knew what for. And finally, I grabbed him and held him out, and I said, "You're not Jesus." He said, "How do you know?" I said, "You don't have any nail prints in your hands. I'm not going to ask you to take your shoes off." I was convinced. Didn't need any further evidence. Folks, God became flesh. Wow, would you just think about that for a minute? In Matthew and Luke, we have this beautiful story of how Jesus came. You see, God not only sent his only begotten Son into the world, but he sent him in a way that forever touches and thrills the heart of man. It was a way that will make all nations and all ages celebrate it until the end of time. Even though men in America today want to take Christ out of Christmas, it is so hard to do since that day is forever named Christmas. Kind of hard to do it, isn't it? You see, Christ came to this earth through the miracle of the virgin birth. Mary was a virgin, yet she gave birth to the Son of God. And when Joseph questioned the angel of the Lord, "How could this be? How could this be?" The angel of the Lord looked at Joseph and said, "Sir, with God, nothing is impossible." When Mary questioned it, she was told the same thing. With God, nothing is impossible. You see, folks, that was the only way God could get his Son here and have him born without the sin nature that all the rest of us inherited from our parents. It's the only way he could do it. So he did it. Miraculous is the birth. So I'm telling you, folks, Christ was miraculously born on this night of nights. And that is the miracle of the Christian faith. God provided himself a lamb. God sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. And we rejoice that he came in the way that he did. And now here it is 2,000 years later, and we're still celebrating the fact that he came. I mean, all the sweet charm of the Christmas story surrounds the way he came. An innocent little virgin girl who finds herself with child, who is visited by the angel and is told that she is going to give birth to the Messiah. And then a puzzled Joseph, who naturally thinks that Mary has lied to him, but who is visited by the same angel and told that Mary is carrying the child who is the Son of the living God. She is carrying the Messiah that was promised throughout all of Scripture. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, this was the night of nights. It is no wonder that the angels lit up the night sky to announce the birth. It is no wonder. I mean, let them shout for all the world to hear the Savior has been born. Hey, it's no wonder that the shepherds came running to bow down at the manger. It's no wonder. It's no wonder. For this was surely the night of nights. I mean, who would dare send anyone away from seeking after the Savior? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. And then number three, I want us to think of the purpose and the power of this incarnation. Think of the purpose and the power. Why did he do this? What was his purpose? Think about that for just a moment. Here in the Bible is this wonderful story, and we're still talking about it today. Here is this story. You say, well, you know, not a lot of people believe in that story anymore. This is not a bad crowd. You with me on that? You know, I think there's more people that are interested in this story. You know, socialism is not working very well for us, is it? You know, liberalism is not working very well for us. Education's not working very well for us. Maybe we ought to get back to the Bible, and maybe there we'll find the peace that we're looking for. Amen. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here. But here is this wonderful story, and folks are still talking about it. And you know, the Bible clearly gives us the purpose for which the Lord Jesus came on this night. The great golden-tongued prophet Isaiah said that he would come as a Savior for the purpose of establishing a kingdom of redemption. The angel of the Lord said to Joseph that the son born of Mary's womb was to be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And now here we are in our text, and the angel said to the shepherds that the Savior is born. The Savior is born. There's your purpose, folks. The song that the angels were singing, which the shepherds heard that night, was telling the world that this Savior who was born came to bring peace to the souls of men. I submit to you, folks, there's not a whole lot of peace going on in our world today. Amen. Maybe it's the Lord that we need. I say it is. John said, Jesus came to bring light to this world. Paul said that Jesus came to save sinners. He said that the Lord Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, of course, that was before Pastor Brian was born. But you understand the point, right? I mean, he came to save sinners. And then the Lord Jesus himself summed it all up when he said that the reason he came was to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, the child that was born on this night of nights, listen to me and I'm done. The child that was born on this night of nights was born to go to a cross and die for your sins and mine. Oh, think of it, dear friend. There is not a happier time than when a new baby is born. But this baby, our Redeemer, our Savior, think of it. He was born for one reason, and one reason only. He was born so that one day he could die. He was born to die. Think of that. You say, well, aren't we all going to die? Yeah, he wasn't dying for his own sin. Don't forget that. You say, well, whose sin was he dying for? For mine. He was dying for all of Brian's sin. I mean, all of them. All of them. He was dying for all of David's sins. He was dying for all of Tom's sins and all of Ray's sins. You see, Jesus came to die for all of our sins. Amen. That means he came to die for yours. And the power of that birth is that he accomplished what he came to do. You see, when he died on that cross, you know what they did? They took him down from the cross and they buried him in the ground. Do you know why they buried him? Because that's what you do when folks die. You bury them. That showed he was dead. And they said, oh, he told his disciples that he wasn't going to stay in the grave. He was going to resurrect. And Pilate's group, they said, oh, no, he's not coming out of that grave. We'll make sure of that. And they put a guard. They put guards at the tomb. And they put this big stone and sealed that stone. You read your Bible. It'll tell you they sealed it. And they said, he ain't getting out of this tomb. We'll make sure of that. But on the third day, just as it had said back here in the Bible, just as the Bible had told us, on that third day, he came out of that grave. He stepped out of heaven. He rolled that stone away. And then he sat on that stone. When Mary came, she had her head down. She looked inside and the tomb was empty. And then there was a voice. And it said, it was the Lord speaking to Mary. Why are you looking for the dead, for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen. You see, that was the power. The purpose for you. The power from God. He did what he said he was going to do. The power of his birth is that he can save to the uttermost those that come to him. To the uttermost. You know what? I heard Les Roloff say one time, he can save from the uttermost to the guttermost them that come to God through him. So this night of nights, you know what it was for? It was for you. It was for you. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus came to this world on this night of all nights, and he came just for you. You see, he came for sinners. He came for this old sinner standing here in front of you, but he also came for sinners like you sitting out in front of me. And here's what he said. You want to see his purpose and his power? Here it is in one sentence. He said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. In other words, he can save you if you'll let him. What a glorious night this was. As the song says, and they sung it this morning, oh, holy night. O night divine. This night was the night of nights. It was the night of our dear Savior's birth. And there has been many a night since. There was many a night, many of nights before. And there have been many nights since. But I'm telling you, folks, this was a wonderful night. Now, question. Would you like to make tonight, a wonderful night? If you'd like to make tonight a wonderful night, I can tell you how to do it. If you will accept Christ as your personal Savior, this could be the greatest Christmas Eve of your life. Amen. You see, Jesus is certainly the reason for the season. Amen. And it would sure be wonderful if you would trust the Lord as your Savior this evening.